Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is Season 2, Episode 12. Yes. And guess what? I have the world's greatest co-host ever, Dawn!
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I am fine. What's up with you?
I'm good.
Yeah, I say you are. You're always going good. So, this is a wonderful day because guess what? We have a very special speaker today.
Somebody, this one hasn't been here, so we have to baptize her in fire.
Yeah. Give us some sprinkles of the Holy Ghost, you know. Sprinkles, you know, stuff like that. We have Miss Addie Lubin. She is just everything at Plantation.
Mm-hmm, she is.
I think now.
Do you have anything that you haven't baptized yet, right?
Yeah, because she's done just about everything now. Welcome, Addie.
Praise God. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that, though. Like I said, we always do, Dawn, before we get started, let's get a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you once again for letting us into your life, Lord, of the way you've done us, Lord, as far as you did the ultimate price, Lord, to die for our sins. Lord, continue to bless us, Lord, that we continue to follow the path of righteousness, Lord, so we can be sanctified, Lord, in the Holy Spirit. Continue to bless this podcast, the host, and all the coordinates that make things work. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 All righty. So, first question, you know I have to ask. Who came up with the idea of you preaching?
Yeah.
Well, that was my pastor Joe. Mm-hmm. So he gave me a call, and he knew that we were planning our outreach for Global Youth Day, which was a little different this year, and that because of COVID, it really was a local church effort. And so since it was something a little different and mm-hmm. something we hadn't done in a while, I definitely wanted to make sure that he was kind of in the loop. And so he's like, well, since it's Global Youth Day and you're the youth director, I want you to bring the word and really bring some awareness to Global Youth Day. Because I think mm-hmm. historically, obviously the things we do are supported by our church, but there was an opportunity to really, really socialize and educate people on what Global Youth Day is. Because if you didn't have a youth, you kind of just saw our youth kind of disappear in this one day, but they were off doing amazing things that were really driven by the conference and were more of a larger regional effort. Mm-hmm. And so we thought it would be a great opportunity really to just educate our membership and our viewers and everyone who's a friend and family of Plantation on what exactly Global Youth Day is and why it's important.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Well, Dawn, before we move on, we have to announce our podcast listeners. We want to thank them. For any comments, questions they may have, they can always send to 954-388-8780. Take it away, Dawn.
All right. So a servant's heart. Who came up with that concept?
I got to give that one to the Holy Spirit. Definitely got to give that one to the Holy Spirit. As I knew that it only made sense that there'd be some aspect of the sermon that service. And if you Google, you know, what does the Bible say about service, you will get link upon link upon link upon link and page upon page upon page upon page. And so just as I started to really dig into it, and the Lord just really convicted me that, yeah, you can get out and do service and you can check off a box, mm-hmm. or you could really gain a deeper understanding and really pass that understanding on to the youth as far as the motivation for it. Like it has to come from a caring place. It has mm-hmm. to come from a loving place. It has to come mm-hmm. from a true compassion mm-hmm. for the lost mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then meeting their need mm-hmm. and then opening up those avenues for bringing them the gospel.
Awesome.
Great. You mentioned something that really stood out to me, which I pretty much God has given me the gift of is hospitality. You talked about, I think it's Romans 12, 13, mm-hmm. but you talked about to serve and why. Mm-hmm. Can you expound that just a little bit more?
Sure. Just as I touched on, a lot of times we do things because that's what we were taught, or that's what everyone is kind of doing around us. And there may be an assumption that, especially young people, know why they're doing what they're doing. And so mm-hmm. it's not just about, okay, we need to get out there and we need to be seen, or, and that's, I'm not saying that's the case at Plantation, but there could be a lot of motivation for why people go out and do service. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that the why is really laid out very clearly in the Bible. The why mm-hmm. is about people experiencing the love of Jesus. The why is about us really being the hands and feet of Jesus. The why mm-hmm. is for people to go, well, my goodness, like, what? Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Well, I've received the love that I can't even begin to understand. And mm-hmm. my hope and prayer is that you would enter into a relationship with Christ and understand that love as well.
Right. I saw that in your sermon, you started talking a little bit about parenting, about the relationship that we have with our youth in the church. And mm-hmm. there's a part that you touched on about disciplining youth, which kind of like hit a kind of chord with me, because you talked about the fact that we don't tend to talk to the youth unless we have to tell them what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
How do you think we can change as a congregation to start treating the youth as they're part of our church? We need to embrace them. We need to grow them. We need to help them to understand how to be those spiritual men and women that are going to eventually take over the church.
I think the first step is definitely education. That concept and that idea for me, I want to say maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, the Florida Conference held an amazing seminar on parenting at Camp Kalakwa mm-hmm. that I got a chance to attend. Mm-hmm. And that's where I learned about parenting with grace and things of that nature. So I think one is definitely education. Mm-hmm. Two is awareness and intentionality. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we just kind of go with the first thing that goes into our head. We don't run it through any filter. We don't stop to really consider the person that's in front of us before right. things come just out of our mouths.
Right.
And so I think it's just a matter of, instead of kind of running with that reaction, stop for a minute, say, okay, there's something that needs to be addressed here, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's some opportunity to help this person grow in their spiritual maturity. It's the opportunity to reveal something to them about where they're at and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then identify what your relationship is with that person. Mm-hmm. So if you've never said anything to that child before, this is not the moment.
Right.
And so through observation, right. you find someone who has that relationship with them. You go to that person and mm-hmm. say, hey, this is what I've observed. I'm going to be praying for that child. I know that you have a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. I know that you're probably best suited to have that conversation with them. But we just can't keep moving and going so fast mm-hmm. that we're not aware of what we're doing. And the understanding that these words, these actions, they have consequences.
Yep.
They have potentially long tail mm-hmm. consequences. And mm-hmm. and my prayer when the Lord gave me the call for youth director is, Lord, it was immediately a call for me to level up. Mm. It was not about what I could bring to the youth. It was about what God was about to do in me, because my sphere of influence just got real.
Amen.
It just got real. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to be that adult that when these youths are 25, 26, they look back and they're like, they're shaking their heads, they're crying tears, they're traumatized, they're having PTSD, they're acting out because I wasn't intentional. Mm. I wasn't loving. I need these children that, even if it is an opportunity for me to help course correct, that they still feel the love of Jesus. Mm. And that's just really through awareness, like I said, intentionality, really just taking a moment to stop and think before I even open my mouth to say anything. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it real hard. I'm praying about it. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, guide my tongue.
So how do you think you can educate? How do you think we can educate? I'm talking about general congregation now. I'm talking about older people that may have had their children way back, got grandchildren, and they're just getting older. And they just, you know, the little kids or the kids or the teenagers are just an annoyance. How do we educate them to say, you know, we got to love them? Would you include them in an AY? Would you say come? Because I know some of the kids would say, you know, there's some adults that come to the AY and they're so judgmental that I cannot even speak and say anything because of what's going to be said or what's going to happen when I get home. How do you make that?
So I think it's a combination of things. I am in a place right now, as I am looking at where the youth department can go and grow, mm-hmm. that I don't want to do programs for the sake of doing programs. Our church has taken on a mission that is being driven by a book called Simple Church, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I have read, and it literally has transformed the way I think. So as a church, we're looking to really streamline mm-hmm. how we do church mm-hmm. and be a little bit more intentionality about our ministry process. And so I definitely want to replicate that in youth. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those instances where, especially when Pastor McCoy came up and he said, you know, this was good for me, you know, mm-hmm. even though I have a little one, that this idea, you know, things you touched on that touch on parenting. So I think there may be an opportunity to do that program, to really just have some sort of workshop, seminar, something that that really educates, similar to what I did with parenting with Grace at Camp Kalakwa. And then the second part of it, I think, is each one reach one. Like, that's just going to always be how we do things, right? It's going to be the potlucks that you have. It's going to be the conversations you have with your friends. It's going to be everywhere that we're touching each other and we're having conversations. Mm-hmm. We need to be organically working that in. Those of us who are aware, who understand, we need to be having these conversations, and we need to be really transparent about it, and be willing to hold each other accountable. So that when you do become aware of someone saying something, here is not to come at them in a combative way, but to say, hey, listen, there may have been a different way to approach this. This may have caused injury and hurt. These are the kind of things that drive our children away from the church for a long time.
That's true. I must say that what you did about the chat session, that was very unique. I like that. To break that up, that was nice. I think that's needed a little bit more. But I like it that it came from you first. Because it took you away from it took you away from, okay, oh, well, she moved to a different medium. This is pretty cool. I like that. So I want to give you kudos on that one. You know, our church motto is, you know, people for the kingdom of God. And then, of course, it's connect, grow, and serve. Do you think the core value should be mainly on the youth? I mean, we have 28, but.
I mean, you're going to get a biased answer from me. You can't ask the youth director if the core value should be on the youth. She's going to say yes all day.
I was heading that direction.
I mean, I think it's really critical, and not just because I'm the youth director, but there is a serious, serious attack on our youth. You know, we are at the end of human history. I don't care how you slice and dice it. I don't care how you know, we're very, very near the end. The birth pangs are starting, and the amount of wickedness, the hypersexualization, I'm gonna be real. You know, when I was coming up in high school, there might have been one or two people who you thought might not be heterosexual. Right. You kind of thought a little bit. But they weren't out there.
Nope.
They were in no way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, it was incredibly taboo.
Yep.
Wow.
For you to call yourself. And so now that's just not the case. There's a LGBTQ plus, and that is not a condemnation on anyone, because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners in need of grace. You know what I'm saying? One sin is greater than the other. Mm-hmm. However, the normalization in society of things that are just blatantly against the word of God, I think makes it a lot more difficult to be a youth today than to be a youth 20 years ago.
That's so true.
So I think for that reason, there needs to be a real special effort and a church-wide. That's why I was really excited, you know, for the opportunity to speak on Global Youth Day, because anything that the youth does, wherever we can go and support, whether we have youth or not, we need to be there. We need to be there. Another big initiative that I'm really trying to figure out the notes and bolts with is how to strategically place youth based on their spiritual gifts in ministry right now. Amen. There are some kids that are obvious greeters. Yep. There are some kids that are great at moving people around in spaces and getting them organized, and they can usher really, really yeah. well. Right. They're just, you know, so it's really and getting them plugged in and trained now and developing those relationships with the adults that may not necessarily be part of the youth ministry team or are parents of the youth. Mm-hmm. So it kind of serves that twofold. Yep. I had a really lengthy conversation with one of the brothers about my sermon. And what we got to was the end of it was, how do you make Jesus cool?
Mm.
Because it's really sad that right now, it's just not cool to be a Christian, not according to the world standards. So do we, one, find a way to make Jesus cool, or two, find a way to make the kids okay with not being cool according to the world standards? So yeah. maybe it's a little bit of both. So, you know, for those reasons, I think that everybody has a stake in investing in our youth. Everybody has a stake. You don't have to be at an event or anything like that. Anytime you see a youth, just smile at them and say good yeah. morning and say happy Sabbath.
And ask them what they're dealing with. I'm sorry. I like the part you said, what was the age between 13 and 25? What was the last thing you said mm-hmm. before? I know for my son, he's 25, mm-hmm. just turned 26. And I'm always saying, you good? And he'll look at me, he said, I'm good. His response to me is the same, because you know why? It's because I kept that going with him.
Right.
I left the door open exactly. for him to talk with him. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to say, if you want to be raw, if you didn't want to be raw, I was being there for him. And I know that's the best thing we need for our youth. Mm-hmm. But the main thing I like exactly. is the church being the village.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Amen. The church being the village. Mm-hmm. Because if it's coming from, say, the pastor on down to, forget the positions, just us being Christians.
Yes.
And developing our youth, you will see a church on a hill lit up. You have to put sunshades on.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling Amen. You. And that's that piece of that, of the church being the village, that's on the parents as well, because there's mm-hmm. a shift. Like I remember my parents live across the street from a lady that my parents have been in their home for over 30 years. Mm. And Mama D has been in the house across the street for over 30 years.
Mm.
And there was a point when I was there that I just knew that if I was not without doing something that I had no business doing, Mama D might not discipline me on the spot, but she's going to call my mama and she's going to let her know that. It's not that I can't be caught by my mom or my daddy. I can't be caught by my mom or my daddy. I can't be caught by Mama D. I can't be caught by Mr. Joe. I can't, like, any them three houses across the street from me. And so now you hear a lot of don't talk to my baby like that. You can't talk to that's not your child and stuff like that. So I think that there is a segment of the population that is not necessarily ascribing to that village concept. So one, we need to show ourselves trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like show ourselves trustworthy to be able to trust each other with our children and not be afraid. Like anybody at Plantation SDAC, my Amina Hobbs doing anything crazy, you better pick up the phone. First of all, you better check her right there. You better check her right there and let her know that you about to call me and you about to FaceTime me or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am still very old school in that manner, but I have encountered some parents that, like, you can tell by the way the kids carry themselves and the parents are not going to let you do that or handle that. So I think as a community, we need to all agree that we are a village raising our children. And that's the only way that it's going to, that's the only way that it's going to work. That's the only way it's going to work.
Well, you had a part in your sermon that you said, talk the talk, walk the walk. What were you talking about then?
Mercy. Can I tell you this sermon was a pruning experience? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. This thing wasn't just for y'all. It was for me too. It really was for me too. And so it's less about dropping your kids off to Sabbath school when we were back in the building and bringing them to church and letting them see Jesus in you day in, day out. And I think that goes back also to the parenting and parenting with grace. Mm-hmm. And it's just really letting them see you live that life, even that struggle to a certain degree. When they get to a certain age and stuff like that, that way they can really handle certain topics, it's okay to let them know that you get weak and that's where Jesus is strong. It's okay to let them know that you looked at the bills this month and it was a little shaky, but you know what I'm saying? You went to the Lord and you called on the promises of God and look how he delivered.
Mm-hmm.
It's really okay to really to really share that and share those experiences. And I think we probably do the best as far as denominations that I've been involved with in terms of really having that tradition, having that culture of, you know, opening the Sabbath together and Vespers mm-hmm. and devotional time. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to just take it to that next level. You know, when we're having that devotional time, is it really asking them on their level, okay, what are you dealing with? I mm-hmm. think we have a tendency, because kids don't pay bills mm-hmm. and they ain't got no real problems, right? to minimize the things that they are dealing with. Yeah. And so it becomes very easy to be like, child, you and your friends and your little tea that y'all got going on, you wait till you get older and then yeah. you know, like, really, you know, and that can really do some damage, you know, like, you definitely want to make them aware that this is not the end all to be all, so let's not be over dramatic and emotional about it, let's keep it in context, but acknowledge the fact that for their age, this is their world, this is their life, this is what impacts them and molds them emotionally, right. mentally. These things are serious. I literally fortunately can transport myself back to when I was 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. When I look back at it, I'm like, it was so silly. But at that time, it was everything.
Yep, exactly.
And so, you know, acknowledge that and use those as opportunities to help develop their character, to help them give godly responses to their friends. You know, I've had to, you know, talk to Amina about how she handles her gender neutral friends and her friends that have boyfriends and things of that nature. You know, as far as I know, and from what she tells me, and I trust her on that, she's not into those type of things yet. But, you know, we've talked about those things, and she went through, you know, a phase where, you know, she was questioning certain things, you know, about what she wanted. And I loved on her, and I'm like, listen, regardless of which way you go, I'm going to always love you. My love for you is unconditional. And as the conversations went on, I was like, okay, sis, this is what it is. This okay. is what it is. This is mm-hmm. what the word says. Mm-hmm. So if you choose to do this, what you're choosing is a life where you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so your eternity is going to be compromised. Now, mm-hmm. if you would want to continue in this behavior, which seems satisfactory to you and satisfies your flesh right now, know that it is only for right now. There is a bigger picture, like, eventually, because after the back and forth, I don't know how I feel. I was like, okay, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I understand. We've been at this now for 4 weeks. So let me be real with you. Mm-hmm. And about what the word says. And now you need to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And ultimately she was like, well, I want to be with Jesus, and I want to, you know what I'm saying, I want to have a life with him. Well, that's going to take some sacrifice. That's going to take some crucifying of your flesh. Know that the way that you are naturally wired is in enmity with our God. And that is why the Holy Spirit is so important. So it was, I could have just swept her under the rug. I could have just, you know, discounted what she was feeling. But, you know, I gave it the significance that I saw her. And I think that she appreciated that.
Amen. Question for you. How you spoke about the spark, you know, eventually, hopefully, to be a blowtorch across the world globally. What could someone say?
Yes,
is trying to get that spark, but they're you know, it's like a lighter. You're just trying to keep flickering it, and just can't get there. But you're trying, and your goal is that until you get that spark. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, I think that there's just plenty of opportunity in this world. Like, I don't think anyone is in a position where you can't, like, get that spark. Our Global Youth Day outreach activity was really simple at the end of the day. You know, we were like, okay, we just went door to door and gave a bag out. Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. And so we were focused on, we said, well, what do we do for people whose average household cost is $700,000 and they have horses and acres of land? What do we do for that person? Mm. And we were like, you thought about it. And I was like, it doesn't matter where you are in the tax bracket, everybody needs health.
Yep. Amen.
And so we geared the bag towards health. You know, you had recipe cards, a health and wellness book that we got from ABC. Shout out to ABC. We did kale seeds, so you can grow your own kale, a stress ball. And that was really, really easy and low key. And so I think the first thing you have to do is, I'm big on data. I'm big on research and things like that. Look around you, and you're going to see a need. you pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a spark. I want to do something that shows love for my fellow man and gives me the opportunity to talk about you. And I just believe he'll honor that prayer.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm saying this is because I have some people that at my job I'm trying to do that with, but I do that by action. You know, I think that's the best for me. Just let them see.
Absolutely.
You know, until they come to that corner of, hey, why are you like that? And what, you know, because.
Inevitably. Yeah. I'm doing a 15-week discipleship program called One-on-One with God. And last night's class was all about evangelism. And it was a charge for me because I think I definitely have room to grow in that and really just being a lot more aware of opportunities to share Christ, to ask people, you know what I'm saying, do they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and leveraging that rapport, developing a rapport with people, easy peasy. I love people. I'm a people person all day, every day, but really taking advantage of that next step and seeing where that opportunity is and trusting God to illuminate their mind and to convict their heart. And so one of my prayers has become, Lord, give me a God encounter today. So whether it's at the gas station, whether it's at my job, whether it's, you know, at the corner store, at Winn-Dixie, at Publix, Lord, give me a God encounter. Just give me the opportunity to show people you.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so there was a part in there that you talked about servant leadership. You had a scripture, Matthew 20, 24 to 28. Teaching our children how to, I don't know, how to be a servant leader. Is that what you want to do with the youth?
Absolutely.
How are you going to do that?
Absolutely. This is a me society. And so that is a big, big, big push of mine, is to really get them to think about other people, to recognize that there is a whole, and that's where I was convicted. I was doing a training, the Florida Conference does a really good job, and it's been really good stepping into this role, only going on 4 months now. The amount of resources and support that I get both at my local church conference level to become educated and to be given like cool ideas and be able to bounce things off for other youth directors. And so this idea of, I've always thought about, oh, I'm training the youth to be the future. I'm training the youth to be the future. I'm training the youth to be the future. But there's a whole segment of the harvest that is theirs right now.
Yep.
And so if they don't understand and don't develop a servant's heart, then we can't reach those kids. We can't reach that's for them to reach, because they speak their language. They're communicating with them in their technology. So it's our responsibility to arm them with the truth and with the gospel and with the evangelistic methods and understanding the process of getting someone from not knowing Jesus to saying yes, so that they can go out and claim that part of the harvest that only really they can reach. So this idea of the youth are the church of right now. There's a part of the harvest I'm supposed to reach. There's a part of the harvest, Joe, you're supposed to reach. Part of the harvest, Dawn, you're supposed to reach. There's a part of the harvest that only these youth can reach. And that's why we have to train them now. Ellen G. White goes on and on and on and on. She has so much insight on this idea of young people going out to do this work. And so it's imperative. It's going to all be about that evangelistic part, that part of really getting the gospel out. You got to have a servant's heart. You got to be willing to serve in order to really be able to effectively preach the gospel, because that's what Jesus did.
Okay, so we have our young people. And we have, let's say, the born and raisers, the ones that we have our children, they come to church, they go to Sabbath school, they go through all the motions, they get to be teenagers. They've been doing this for so long now. That's all they know. They don't know anything else. The world looks very attractive, but they've been told, no, you can't. No, we don't do that because you're Adventist. So now, how do we help them? Because we're being told now that the youth are leaving in droves. How do we help them to understand how to have a relationship with God when we taught them everything? It's not like they don't know, but they just don't want to because of, I don't know, I saw the elder do this, or I don't like the way that one behaves, or I just have a really bad relationship with, I don't know, my youth director, I don't know, anybody. How do we help them to understand that your relationship with Christ is the most important thing that you need to have?
So again, I think it goes back to the idea of the village, right? Because you ultimately will become desensitized mm-hmm. to what your parents say after a while. Mm-hmm. So it is hearing it through other voices and it's also through listening. So we really do need to listen to where they're at and address that in a real way. I think the other piece of it, and I don't want to say this, I feel it coming in general, is that we're in need of revival. Like, quite honestly, there is some of that the only the Holy Spirit is going to be able to do, to do, quite honestly. And so we have to continue to be a real life loving example of not just going through the motions, because the discipline and the training that they receive is important, right? It provides those guardrails. But you're right. I actually had a conversation with, let's call it 3, 6, 9, about 12 youth. One evening we were together for something and I asked them, so how many of you guys are baptized? And when I say these, we're talking the if I were to identify the future leaders of Plantation Church, is these kids. You know, we're talking the elders, kids of the world, and some, all of them either were the children of elders or the children of ministry leaders. I'm not gonna call no names, right? And so everybody's hands shot up. I said, okay, well, how old were you when you were baptized? And the average age was about 8 or 9 years old. And I said, well, why did you get baptized? Well, I was going to such and such school and they had a baptismal class and they said I needed to go get baptized. One was as young as 6 years old. And so there was only one person that said, hey, I was 12 and I wanted to give my life to Jesus and I got baptized. And one of the other youth said, so you didn't take any classes? And this young gentleman said, there are classes? I was like, you know what? That's probably actually more so how it should be. The experience that you had. But what was encouraging to me is that, so we're talking about a room of about 15, 16, 17 year olds, is that a few of them were talking about getting re-baptized. Because they now have an understanding of, they were, because I asked them, they were like, well, that's what I was just told to do, or that's what we do because we're at Venice. And so it, for me, it illuminated an opportunity. And so I'm kind of toying around with what a re-baptism class was, but the fact that their hearts, even though they did it when they were young, they might not have had a full grasp of what the commitment was or what they were signing up for at that moment, the fact that they were still interested, and that's because they've been kept in church, right? And so the Holy Spirit is still working on them. The word will never return void. So they can sit and think they're not listening, but that word is dropping into them. That word is getting into their heart, and that word is going to bear fruit. And so the fact that they had been doing their own research and they wanted to get rebaptized was super encouraging to me. What broke my heart, though, is one of them had actually asked their parents about becoming rebaptized, and the parent responded with,
"Do you want to do that for?
Are you having sex?" Because the assumption is if I want to be rebaptized, I must have done something that I need to repent of. So this idea, you know, so this idea that, no, I'm just in a different place in life. I'm in a different phase of life. I still want a relationship with Christ, but I have a better understanding of what that means, what that entails. And so I'd like to do a public declaration of that. I want to do this thing when I know really, really what it means. And so I'm definitely going to delve into that and see, you know, how we can pull something like that together.
I think I'd spoken to one young person that told me, or no, a parent of one young person that said, you know, I don't see why I need to do a baptism. I just do my thing with God. I don't see why I need to be out there to let everybody else know my business, basically. So it was like, okay,
how do you can't be an island.
How do you
Not at all.
What's funny about that is I actually resisted being baptized when I became Adventist, because at that point in my life, I had been baptized like 4 times. So
wow.
I grew up Catholic, so I had a little water sprinkled on me. And then when I became Baptist, I got baptized again to signify that I was leaving the Catholic Church. I think another church I went to, I got baptized again. So by the time I was Adventist, I was like, I got to get in this pool again. Like, really? But when I started the study and I really started to understand, I tell people being Seventh-day Adventist is like no other denomination. Like, I could literally Baptist, non-denominational Christian, apostolic, Pentecostal, they kind of all kind of float in that same vein, and you're accepting, you know what I'm saying, Jesus Christ. But being Adventist is about a whole lifestyle.
Yeah,
it's literally about a whole lifestyle. And so I was like, all right, a lifestyle with service, a culture of service. And so I remember, you know, when I got baptized, like, I cried like a little baby. Like, it was it was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful moment, you know what I'm saying, to see my church family, like, so supportive. And I knew that no matter what happened, like, as I walked this walk and as I tried to do this thing, that I had all these people, you know what I'm saying, that want to see me in heaven with them, and that I had my back. And so I think it's a beautiful thing. I get super excited every time that there is a soul that wants to be baptized. I want to be right there, you know what I'm saying? To be like, I might not even know who there was, what their name was, but as soon as they come, I see them there, and they go down in that water, get come back up. Guess what? You're my brother, you're my sister. If you need anything, here's my number.
Well, you know Rupert's son, right? You know about that.
Andre, yes. Yes. She was there.
That
I dipped a little bit too.
Listen. And that's really what it's about. That's a beautiful thing.
It is
a beautiful thing. And so all we can do is pray for those people, because that's a deeper issue. When you know, that's a deeper level of disconnect from the church. And so you know, I think that our focus as a church on connect, grow, serve, and go, and as we evolve as a church to really ensure that we stay connected as a family, that we do a better job of really creating these microcosms within our church, these small groups, these small entities, because it's not realistic. We could, when we were in the building, we could have 800, 900,000 people coming through there on any given Sabbath. Right. So the idea that you can really serve those needs in a relevant and significant way on that large scale is not how it was ever designed to be. That's not how the first church operated. That's not how Jesus operated. So as we really start to dissect and especially in this virtual world, what that looks like, you know, I'm excited. We had a youth reconnect picnic back in February. And, you know, once we had all the, you know, pleasantries and all the fun games, I gave them probably like an hour to just like hang out. And so I kind of watched them, you know, at that age, everything is a click. Right, everybody. And so I literally sat back and watched them fall into their little cliques. And I was like, there go a small group, there go a small group, there go a small group, there go a small group. So I'm really excited to even get to know them and what bonds them as their little, you know, whether it's, you know, their parents are friends, or they live in the same neighborhood, or they go to the same school, or they're in and around the same age and have the same interests. So as I delve into that, that's going to be the end, you know what I'm saying? Those type of activities that they enjoy, that we now pair with Jesus, that's going to be the end. That's going to be the way that we create this sense of community that then becomes the fire throughout the entire church.
So there you go, globally.
So what are you going to do as now the new youth director? What are you going to do differently for our youth?
Oh man. Well, it's interesting because I came in literally as a, if you think of graduating classes, I guess, you know, we have a set of youth that started out kind of with Nikki and Olivia and Nick a few years ago, and they're growing out, and there's a whole new class coming in from children's ministry. Yeah. I got a large group of 13 and 14 year olds. So, right now I'm in this frantic information gathering moment and just keeping them connected. I have, of course, had plenty of people in my ear as far as what needs to happen. But for me, it's about understanding their like I said, like the trainer, understanding where they're at. We have children that are at various levels of commitment to Christ. They're the ones, like you said, Dawn, that have just been coming to church day in, day out mm-hmm. with their parents, and they're mm-hmm. not sure what they believe. Right. And then we have people that are ready to go plant a church right now. You know what I'm saying? As far as our youth is concerned. So it's mm-hmm. really understanding that and then crafting the programming mm-hmm. to meet those needs. So what I'm particularly passionate about is whole child development. So the spiritual, I got all the manuals and all the things that I need to really, I feel, execute that. We're getting ready to launch Friday Night Bible Study. Mm-hmm. There's just some basic pillars that you can't get away from because right. they need that stuff spiritually. They need to know how to pray. They need to know how to study God's word. Mm-hmm. They need to understand service. Mm-hmm. But they also need to know what to wear to an interview. They need mm-hmm. to understand the importance of where to find scholarships. They need to understand how to write, you know, an essay for a college application. They need to understand that when you sit down at a table, you work your forks out from the left, you know what I'm saying? And things of that nature. So it's really about whole child development. Mm-hmm. So it's about their spiritual development. So it's about connecting them with God in various ways. It's about connecting them to each other. Mm-hmm. and community, and then hopefully that brings in their friends, you know what I'm saying, from the outside that may right. not be from church. And so there's the discipleship and evangelistic opportunity. So we're not doing things for the sake of doing things. Everything that ends up on the youth calendar should be about connecting them with God, helping them grow in their spirituality, and as a whole person, teaching them how to serve and getting them out there to serve, and or having them go out and repeat that process and not being afraid to invite someone to become part of that process and to accept a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Amen. All right.
Well, that's something. That's sermon number two, right?
Look at you. Amen. Amen. Yes, yes.
There you go. Listen, you said yes once. You know, you think Pastor Joe's
going to leave you alone? Hey, he's not going to leave me like that. Believe me.
Listen, here's my thing. I've always loved public speaking. You know, I did it all through corporate. Most people would rather jump out of a plane without a parachute than speak in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I know.
And so
I'll keep the parachute and stay.
So whether it's 5 or 50,000 I don't mind, but I've never, it's really dumb when I think about it, but I never thought about that gift, using it for God. And especially when I got in the Adventist wow. church, because I'm like, I ain't been to nobody's seminary. I ain't got nobody degrees. I don't have, you know, any of that stuff. And so typically when I get into a church, they quickly figure out that I can sing. And so, you know, nobody thinks that maybe this might be an opportunity. And so I'm excited. And Plantation has, like I said, every other church I've been to has been about my singing ability. Plantation has leveraged my marketing abilities. Plantation has leveraged my production experience, like all these things that I used in the world, all these skills. And so it just really is amazing to me that literally every single thing that God has gifted me with can be used for his glory.
Amen.
Like somebody would have told me that, you know, the fact that I like things super organized and I create spreadsheets to like organize my thoughts and execute events and stuff like that mm-hmm. could be used for his glory, I might not have been able to see it. So this is where I know this is where I'm supposed to be planted. This is why I drive 26 miles to go to church and pass a whole lot of other Adventist churches mm-hmm. on the way, because this is home for me. You know, this is where I'm planted, because he has been able to really take my gifts and be for his glory. And that is super exciting to me. So mm-hmm. anytime that, you know, he calls me to do that, I'm ready. I'm mm-hmm. ready to say yes, because I know that he's faithful and it's not me.
Amen.
So I ain't worried, because if he called me, he's going to equip me and he's going to speak through me mm-hmm. and he's going to give me, you know, and that's literally what happened on Sabbath. I was like, so this is what y'all pastors go through, when legitimately everything that could reasonably go wrong in my life that week leading up to me speaking went wrong. Like, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit and me knowing exactly what's going on, and that there is a spiritual war going on, but my right. God is victorious. So I'm not even worried. And it got to the point on Thursday where like I was waiting on something to be delivered for Global Youth Day, and I was like, child, boo, that thing is not going to get here on time, but I'm not going to let it frustrate me. So
yeah,
I'm gonna go ahead and come up with this backup plan because I just kind of knew what was going on. But the more things started to crumble, the more excited I got. The more things started to crumble, the more excited I got. I said, oh, you finna show out, Lord. Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm emptying. I'm taking my braids. I don't even want them to see me. I don't want nobody to be distracted. I'm emptying. Wow. I'm emptying. I'm in minimal makeup. None of that. No, they're putting on something simple. Let's go. I'm emptying.
Awesome.
And he just was faithful as he always is. Like, it's amazing to serve a God you can count on every single time.
That's right. Well,
every single time.
You definitely branded yourself, I can tell you that.
Yep. Praise God. Praise God.
I tell you. Praise God. You have anything else, sweetie?
No, I don't.
Well, I tell you, Addie, it's a wonderful thing. It's, I'm going to tell you personally, when I met you, I knew there was something about you because we had a connection.
Yes.
We've gotten a lot of groups together and meet committees together about hospitality, and you were right there. Mm-hmm. And we always saw eye to eye on that because that's what God has given us to do. Mm-hmm. And hospitality is something that a lot of people cannot do.
Yep. No.
I've seen it. Yeah. You know, they can do everything else, but hospitality, the general kindness that comes within. And you got to have that from the beginning. You got to have it.
From the beginning.
You got
to
have it.
The ability to display that to anybody.
Anybody.
To everybody.
That's right.
Not just those who are pristinely dressed. Not just those who are in a certain tax bracket. Not just those who are churched. You know what I'm saying? Anybody, those that come in with the tattoos. I love what Principal Stevenson preached for the week of prayer. And he talked about, you know what I'm saying, that hospitality has to extend to any and everybody, and especially when we start talking about the youth and them bringing their friends in.
Yeah.
Those are going to be, you know what I'm saying, those are going to be youth that might make us want to clutch our pearls, but we got to understand and see past that and realize that that's a soul. That's a soul that is in need of Jesus. That is someone who's not living an abundant life, that they're not experiencing the love and the grace and the mercy of our God. And that should really move us to compassion. Mm-hmm. And that should really move us to wanting to let them see that. And so that their heart can be pricked.
Mm-hmm.
And they can say, incredible. Yes.
Amen. That's incredible.
Yep.
Well, Addie, I really hope that you see this challenge of what you're going to do and you have support because there are going to be many times you're going to need to be ministered to.
Yeah.
And nothing's like that when you can't get the ministering from someone else. Mm-hmm. And everything is, you're emptying yourself, but now you need to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless you on that, on your new position.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
God bless
you. Thank
you
so much.
Yeah.
All right. If you don't mind, we always ask all our speakers, guest hosts, and all that good stuff to lead us out of the word of prayer.
Right.
It would be a privilege and an honor.
Thank you.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you right now and we just worship your holy name. We just praise you, Lord God. We just give you all the glory and adoration that you are due, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, for life, health, and strength, Lord God. Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for this opportunity, Lord God, to do a deeper dive, Lord God, into the word that you were so gracious in speaking through me on Sabbath, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for Brother Joey and Sister Dawn, Lord God, for creating this platform, Lord God, so that your people can get further acquainted, Lord God, with you, so that you have yet another opportunity to reveal yourself to them, Lord God, to show who you are, Lord God. Father, I pray for our youth, Father God. I pray for our church, Lord God. I pray for our village, Lord God. Lord God, you are bringing revival, Lord God, every single day in our hearts, Lord God. And that spark will become a blowtorch before we even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifice on the cross, Lord Jesus, for giving your life as a ransom for ours, Lord God, and for our sin, and for the wages of sin, death that we deserve, Lord God. You gave us a chance to be with you in eternity. I pray that anyone that listens to this podcast, Lord God, that their heart be moved, that their minds be illuminated, their hearts be convicted to want to learn more about you, and that they would encounter someone that would be the expression of you, that would be your ambassador here on earth. Lord, let us remember the greatest commandment, to love you and to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I give you all the glory. And these things I ask in your son's most blessed name, by the authority of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Have a wonderful day.
Yes. We want to thank our podcast listeners once again who take the time out to listen. Once again, questions, comments, or concerns, please send it via WhatsApp 954-388-8780. And drum roll, please, Don.
Who's next? The birthday. All right.
We got out there.
Happy birthday to you.
Wow, we have a song.
I wish you could sing.
So for March 21st, so this one went already, is Tatiana Petrus.
Okay, Tatiana, right.
And then Patricia Govista.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't she just...
Patricia G, that's what we call it.
Patricia G. Anymore.
Oh, but no. That's right, she's not Patricia G anymore.
No, she just got married, a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm. That's right. So yes.
I went to the wedding. I went to the wedding.
I know.
So I just kept seeing Marvel.
What's her new last name then?
I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Went to the wedding, you don't know the last name of the
group. I know it's Jewish.
All right. Her birthday was on is March 24th, so it's coming up, right?
Okay. Glad to let her know.
Right. Oh, it's a couple of days. And then Grace Codrington is March 24th.
You remember her?
Hey.
That's right. Hey, Grace. Happy birthday.
Hey, I can tell you one thing. Grace was a great organizer.
She was. She was a youth
great organizer.
My goodness. She got me.
Where she at? Come on back, Grace. Where you at, Grace? Where you at, Grace? Come on back.
Boy, she rounded up the youth like it was nothing.
Like nobody did. Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I add one more to that list that I happen to know of? March 21st, Kelly Angus, who is our choir director, our mass prayer choir director. Yes. Her birthday was also March 21st.
Happy.
Yes.
All right.
And Pathfinder leader as well, yes.
Uh-huh. And of course, I had a nice 17th year anniversary.
Yes, he just had his anniversary.
What
did you do, Jim? You were very incognito.
You ain't got to tell us. You ain't got to tell us.
I ain't saying a word. I ain't saying a word.
Did you get to know your wife in the biblical sense?
Yes. And he knows her well.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Not too much, man.
Oh my goodness. All right, Ace. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
All right.
Blessed week, everyone.
Right. And that's to say. And I like your prayer request you had. What is it? Matthew 6:33. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like
it. It's so simple. And just like it literally, if you can't get anything else right, you can just seek them first.
There you go. Seek them first. And everything else. Everything.
That's all. A promise, man. That's a deep promise.
Amen. Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you.
All right.
It was a blast. Thank you.
Don't worry. We'll be seeing you up again. We got another slot for you.
Don't want to speak it on me, brother. I receive it. I used to tell y'all folks, y'all stop it. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be receptive to what the people of God want to speak on me in the name of Jesus, as long as it's according to his will.
That's all that matters. All right, Don.
All right, guys.